Hey, in your circles, do you find that the discussion is trending toward finding top talent? All aspects from networking, writing great ads, improving hiring systems, and improving your business culture is credited to finding and keeping top talent. Hey, all well and good to work hard to pick a great talent out of the available talent pool. However, I believe the time has come in a big way to grow your own. For many, that concept seems nebulous. Something you hear about, know you should do, but you can't even begin to know where to start. Let me help you. I've done at least 10 podcasts on apprenticing and career pathing. Now, most recently, the Town Hall Academy 185 was dedicated to understanding apprentice programs. This episode is bookended to 185, and I call it Apprentice Stories. Listen to two apprentices and a mentor talk candidly about the process and the results of having a great apprentice program. And you know, anything worthwhile takes time and effort, and installing an apprentice program in your shop is as right as having lifts in your bays. You gotta do it. I will have links to two important apprentice programs that you can embrace and make your own. It'll be listed in the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/A193. Hey, please don't ignore the need for a proven apprentice program. We continue to compete with other skilled trades that have their own apprentice programs, like plumbers, electricians, carpenters, and more. Why not automotive in a big way? This is an extremely high-tech industry, and jobs that we have that we should be proud of. And being involved in continuous training is the only way of surviving the barrage of new tech and the need for top talent. I want to thank Shopware and Shop Marketing Pros for today's episode. It says, easy, you know, is 123 Shopware Shop Management System. Well, they allow customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs, 123, all in one place. Keep your staff and your customers safe while maintaining profits and keeping your customers happy. Who doesn't want happy customers? Learn more at GetShopware.com. And have you realized that your marketing looks exactly the same as the shop down the road? You know, those generic pictures? Well, your shop is different and deserves marketing that is as unique as your shop is. Hey, let Shop Marketing Pros show your community how different you are. Find them on the web at ShopMarketingPros.com. Hey, here's a taste of this very important apprentice discussion.
I kind of thought that I was going to come in and know what was going on and be ready for it. And boy, was I wrong.
More like this in a minute. Hey, are you and I connected? I think for you, one of the most important ways to connect with me is to subscribe to my daily email. You get firsthand info on every new release, what's coming up in the week. And on Mondays, you get my view or slant on something that's on my mind. Go to remarkableresults.biz/insider. And you know, we grow every week and it's because of you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing and recommending the podcast to your peers. We are committed to help all ships rise, which drives our desire to bring and deliver outstanding content that keeps you in the game. Now, an important episode on growing your own and building a bench of top technicians on your very own. I'd like to introduce you to Rex Lee. Rex works at McNeil's Auto Care in Sandy, Utah. Two locations, right?
Yep. Just opened a second location in Riverton.
And that's where you're working?
Yep.
And you're currently a mentor?
Yep. Mentoring one apprentice right now.
And you were an apprentice?
I was.
We got to talk about that. And I believe you were the first graduate. And of course, you went on to get your ASE Master Technician status.
Yeah, absolutely. 10 years working for McNeil's Auto Care through the partnership of McNeil's and NAPA, was able to get my apprenticeship done and Master Tech.
So happy for you, man. That's great. We want to talk more about that. You're a great example. All of you are great examples for our industry. Brian Stafford's here from Parkway Automotive, Little Rock, Arkansas, ASE Certified L1 Advanced Level Specialist. And you're also currently a mentor?
Yes, sir, I am.
Did you go through the apprentice program?
We didn't have the apprentice program available to me when I started at Parkway Automotive, but I went through something very similar. It just wasn't as structured as what we're doing here.
Glad to hear that. We care so much about your perspective as a mentor. Brian, thanks for being here. Elijah Pierce from Davidson, who works at Parkway Automotive, also along with Brian, a graduate of the apprentice program. Yes?
Yes, yep. Sir.
Wonderful. ASE certified technician. Glad to have you here. I just want you all to think about what we've been saying when we say ASE. It's such an incredible part and parcel to any great apprentice program. So glad to have everyone here. Let's start out, Rex, let me start with you. With, you know, limited mechanical skills, I think you came on to McNeil's and you worked as a maybe a helper in some in a, like a quick start position. I want to know what motivated you to want to go through the program.
Changing oil and doing kind of the tires, the quick service. It's limited. You know what you're going to get when you show up to work. You're only going to be doing certain things. You're not going to be able to grow. And there was no motivation really to learn more on automotive when you felt like you were only going to go to work and do certain things. Through the apprenticeship program, it kind of opened the door and started collecting tools and the training, most importantly, and started learning more.
So when did you realize, Rex, that you had this innate ability to want to work with your hands and wanted to learn more and more and more? I mean, when did it hit you?
My first car, my parents didn't teach me anything about automotive maintenance or anything. So my parents gave me a car. I didn't change the oil on it at all and probably went 15,000 miles and blew the engine. You know, I wanted to know more. So instead of knowing nothing about vehicles, I went from that to where I'm at now. And just so something like that doesn't happen again, you know?
Elijah, you have to have a special attitude in order to, you know, jump in and get involved and stay with an apprentice program?
The words that I would use is like passion and motivation. Even from the very beginning, I would in the morning and love going to work at Parkway, you know, wonder what I'm going to learn new today. You know, you just have to always constantly be pushing forward, be growing and really just enjoy what you do. I think kind of take every day as a challenge. You have to be ready to take those challenges as they come because it's not easy. Getting in, it was like you just got hit by a freight train of all this information that you're just being thrown at you. You've got to enjoy that to still want to get up and enjoy doing it and enjoy learning.
Thank you for that. I just need to encourage everyone who's going to either listen to this podcast, watch this video on social or on my website next week. We'll repurpose this as a podcast next Thursday. You have to listen intently and you have to realize that apprenticing is going to be where we need to be. Think about people that are electricians and plumbers and engineers, and they're also proud to be in a journeyman's program. Why has our industry walked away from something like that? Maybe over the years it was so easy. Points, condensers, cap, wires, done. Today it's completely different. There's so much you have to know, deep information that you have to know, constant training you have to know. It's time for apprentices, and if we don't start, we're never going to meet the demand that I believe is going to be required to fix people's cars. Every apprentice program needs a mentor. Brian, you are mentoring inside of Parkway, an important position. And let me ask you, you're probably not the most senior guy there. And the point is that the most senior guy at your place doesn't necessarily become the mentor.
That's true. I've been here the longest between any of the other techs. It's almost been 12 years. There's a guy that came maybe 3 or 4 months after I did. He's the only other one that's been here almost 12 years. There is a lot of loyalty and dedication to Parkway and serving Parkway. And this is just another way that I could do that. But you're absolutely right. It doesn't have to be a senior tech or the lead tech, the most gross in billing. It needs to be the right person.
Okay, well, let's dig a little deeper while you just mentioned that. We can get to the whole apprentice program, but you just put a hanging cliff in front of us. Got to have the right person, the right mentor. Explain that one to us.
Hopefully, it would be a mentor that's in your organization that's already worked with you for several years. So you know their attitude, you know their quality of work, and you know their passion and what drives them to do the job. So Mike got all of us together for a dinner one night and just kind of threw all this information out there for us and just kind of wanted to see who would take hold of it and who was interested in it and went through the paperwork, maybe gave him some more feedback on what could work different or change. And out of that, you know, 5-6 people, he ended up choosing me. I'm pretty thankful that he chose me. This has been a great learning experience for me personally, just to grow and be able to train other people the way I would say the way I was trained when I started.
Brian, I've always known this, that when you teach, you learn. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone that I've worked with, you learn something different through each one, even as it progresses through the 2 years. It's a constant learning of other people's attitudes, the way they perceive your attitude, the way they learn, whether it might be a little slower in certain areas, whether it's brakes or electrical or drivetrain, whatever it may be. And I have to learn to tweak the way I communicate in those areas depending on how quick they retain that information.
Got it. Elijah, Brian was your mentor?
Yes, sir.
How was it to have someone in working with you side by side and going through the training and meeting all the requirements to be able to lean on Brian?
You know, it's not really like I can compare it to going through a trade school or anything like that, because, you know, I didn't have that experience. This was, you know, I graduated high school and went straight into the apprenticeship program, just fresh into it.
I want that to sink in for everybody. Okay, everybody understand. Elijah said, I didn't go to trade school. That's okay. 2 years of hands-on mentoring, training, meeting requirements, probably more hands-on than any trade school may give you. You'll get the theory from the mentor, from the training, and then you go put it to practical use every day. Out of high school, skilled trades, apprentice program at Parkway, an ASE certified technician here in front of us. So I just need to make that point, because I'm not sure that everyone in our industry realizes that the start of finding a candidate can come from.
Let me add one thing. Master certified technician before he graduated.
Big congrats to you. I mean, would you mind telling us how old you are, Elijah?
21.
There's some 45-year-olds who've been working in the industry 25 years that aren't A1 Master Tech certified. Just not. So congratulations for that. And that's a big part of the apprentice program. If you can pass that, I guess we've done our job in at least training you most of the way, right?
Right. Yes, sir.
You were telling the story out of high school. Did Mike Davidson approach you? I mean, tell me how it works.
Just a little backstory. I was raised on a farm and we had some customers, and one of our best customers, she asked me what I wanted to do, and I told her I wanted to be a technician. And she said, well, I have somebody you need to talk to. If you want to be in the automotive industry, I take my car to Parkway. You need to talk to Mike Davidson. So I spent maybe 30, 45 minutes on the phone with him, and really the rest is history. You know, I heard all about the program, and just from that short conversation that was what I wanted, that I didn't want to go to a school and, you know, be in a classroom. I wanted the one-on-one training with a master certified technician. After going through the program, I can't say that I can compare it, but I can tell you that I can't imagine anything better than this program to get you through quickly.
Hey, Carm here, and coming up, learn where to find apprentice candidates. Hey, today's pandemic is causing so much stress and uncertainty for everyone right now, especially shop owners. Now, how do I make sure that my staff and my customers stay protected while still moving cars through the bays? Contactless service is our new normal, and having a shop management system that not only supports this, but actually helps your business thrive through it all is key. Shopware's digital workflow with remote pay will provide that solution for you. Amy Matinet from Auto Craftsman recently commented on social media, and I quote, I can't even express how grateful I am that I jumped on board with Shopware on January 1st. Would have never guessed that I would be the only one writing service at my shop, as I haven't worked in the shop for the last 15 years. But she goes on and says, I'm running my shop nonstop every day with Shopware to help me not only get the job done easier and faster, but am totally wowing my customers. End quote. Hey, if you want to wow your customers too, request a demo at getshopware.com. Hey, Carm here. Have you heard this before? If you need something, we're just a phone call away. But then when you need something and you make that phone call, nothing. Well, if you needed something from your marketing company right now, today, could you get their help? Or now that they've got your money, has the personalized attention just faded away? Well, we've all experienced something like this. If you want that to go away, I want to introduce you to my friends over at Shop Marketing Pros. Shop Marketing Pros is a boutique marketing company. Now, what that means is they're small. It also means that they know their clients because they communicate with them regularly. If you're tired of working with a big transactional agency who treats you just like another auto repair shop, well, it's time to talk to the folks over at Shop Marketing Pros. They are a real phone call away. Find them on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. Rex, a similar story, out of high school into a couple of years and then into the apprentice program?
Yeah, I started at working at a Valvoline instant oil change, but that's not really mechanical repairs. It was more quick service, and I liked doing it and found a job at McNeil's Auto Care and just started growing my tool collection. And the apprentice program, it was great because you can get that hands-on experience and get a paycheck at the same time.
When you started, you were the first person in the in McNeil's, which is now the NAPA program, by the way, everyone. Mike Davidson has a Department of Labor, Federal Department of Labor approved apprentice program. So we're here talking to people that were in the impetus of these two really great apprentice programs, which means that it's not difficult for anyone to start. You know, if you were with NAPA, it's a piece of cake. If you're not, then you can absolutely join the one that Mike has. He's written a book about it. He's got every sheet. Rex, I want to dig into the training a little bit. You know, what's the discipline for training? Did you have to do any work in the evenings?
So the apprenticeship, it was hands-on work, and there was also curriculum taught through NAPA, their training programs. You would have different stages. Ours is set in 9 stages where you go through and they have certain requirements. Also, at the end of each stage, you would get an assessment whether you're capable of doing the repairs laid out in that stage, the training. There's tests and ASEs that can go along with each stage. So it was a good mix of both hands-on and learning on your own, learning through NAPA, and it all kind of comes together to help you out.
Elijah, did you go to any leader-led classes, you know, in the Little Rock area? And what was the mix between online training that you did and in that?
I did everything. We went to all the NAPA classes that they offered. There were a couple other classes that weren't NAPA that we went to. The bulk of the after-hours training was through the textbook and online, you know, videos and tests and stuff like that. But a little bit of everything.
You got paid while you were becoming an apprentice. You had to go home and maybe not go out with a gang or
right.
or sit and do a video game or some kind of social networking, and you invested in your career. No one was looking over you and saying you had to do this or not. You had to do it. You had to meet these certain thresholds. Yes?
Yes, sir.
No problem with that.
Mm-mm.
Why? I mean, are you just naturally built-in responsible person? Or at the end of the day, you says, this could be a fabulous career I could have.
I'd like to say a little of both. I wake up every morning and I'm just happy to go to work on cars. I love it. And to get through the apprentice program, you have to be a little bit farsighted with that kind of thing. You have to see that the more you learn, the quicker you learn. One, the more money you'll make. Two, the less frustrated you'll be on cars because you'll understand them a lot better. You got to see that end goal to get your training done. You know, sometimes, you know, you break a bolt, you spend an hour getting it loose. You're just sick and tired of cars when you get home. You got to train and get better. You're not going to be able to stop everything, but the better you are, the better your knowledge base, the better things are going to go.
A scenario, each of you own your own shops and you want to start building your own technician team. Where would you go out and look for an apprentice?
Well, I would call Mike Davidson and I'd let him give me all of his very valuable information. If you can go to a guy that's even written a book about apprenticeship, then he's the right one to give you all the information as far as, you know, going to schools or calling colleges or whatever you need to do as far as getting in contact. I would say for me, because I know him, he's the one I would go to get all of that information.
You own your own shop. You're going to take on Mike's apprentice program or the NAPA program. You have it. It's here. Now I've got to backfill my program. I need to find an apprentice or two to come on board. Where do I go look? We're trying to teach the industry from your perspective. Where can they find the candidates to go through your apprentice program?
I would look at doing something like we did with Elijah. I know he came to us from a referral from someone else, but I would be looking at the school district and see how can I contact the schools and see if they have programs or if they have kids that are interested in a career path with our industry. Maybe I could go that route first. I would want to get someone that is passionate, maybe does this as a hobby with their dad, and kind of start from there.
Thanks, Brian. It's amazing. Rex and Elijah, he kind of mentions high school, but do the counselors really get how critically important and the skills you need to do to be a technician today?
Interesting you say that. So Riverton High School, they actually came to us and said, hey, we have our automotive program. We want to put you in a position where you can train someone. So they're getting hours. And basically we had a high school student come and job shadow me for probably a good 5-6 months. And he learned and he was able to see what's it like being a technician. And I thought that was great because, you know, working with the school district, we're getting people with the right attitude. That's probably the most important thing with an apprentice is finding someone who's willing to learn and go through it, you know.
Have you all heard a recurring theme? It's called attitude. This has been great so far. Elijah, I'd love to find out from you, where would you set out to find an apprentice to join your company?
I really do like, you know, what Brian said with going to a high school and what Rex said. They don't have any bad habits, I guess is what I'm saying. So you can train them. They're, you know, usually young people learn quicker, easier. They're going to have physical ability because this is a very physically demanding job. It's a lot harder than I think a lot of people give it credit for. You go home every day exhausted.
Would you guys ever think, as shop owners, remember, we're role-playing. You guys are shop owners now. Would you ask your customers, hey, do you know anybody, niece, nephew, son, daughter, is so good with their hands? Yeah, they said, Mom, Dad, I don't want to be a lawyer or a doctor. I want to work with my hands. Did you ever think we've got this great apprentice program here? Would that be an ask?
Yeah, I would say so. You would hope that it would go well because you don't want to burn a bridge if it doesn't work out with a customer, but yeah, I mean, it's a possibility.
It doesn't go well. I just love what he just said. I mean, is that a risk that you would bring on an apprentice? Any of you have any experience where an apprentice came on and it just didn't work out?
I've gone through a couple. I would say their mind was in the right place. They thought they could do this because maybe they tinker on cars as a hobby. As far as trainability, they weren't trainable. They weren't open enough for the information. And granted, it's a lot of information in a short time frame. I mean, we're talking about 2 years for you to learn a career and not necessarily become a master at the end, but at least have some ASEs under your belt. So the course is very strict, very tough to get through. And if your mind's not in it, like if you don't have a passion for it and a drive for the career, if you don't love what you do, it's just not going to work. I can't force it on you.
How soon into it, Brian, did you see? Was it 2 or 3 months? Was it 6 months?
You can tell within the first few months, 3 to 4 months, you kind of get a grasp on how quick are they picking this up. And if it's not that quick, maybe I need to adjust on how I'm training them. Maybe they need help in other areas to kind of bring them along a little bit quicker. I would say if there's a struggle and it's just not working out, then it's almost better for both of us to have that conversation and see how they feel about how they're progressing through it.
Elijah, was there a point in time where you said, hey, this is pretty tough stuff?
Probably the first couple of weeks. I mean, to Brian's point of teachability, I came in kind of as that person that did it as a hobby. And, you know, we We never took our cars anywhere. We always did everything ourselves in the driveway, you know, whatever. I kind of thought that I was going to come in and know what was going on and be ready for it. And boy, was I wrong. You can't think that you know everything coming in, because I can guarantee you that you don't. I don't care how long you've been working on cars. If you don't do it every day, if you don't have that deep knowledge that you have from doing it every day and working on, you know, every single make and model, you don't know everything. So you have to keep that humility about you and that desire to grow and learn to make it through the program. And I think that's how you're teachable, is if you realize that you're not gonna know everything, and there's always more to learn.
Hey, Rex, what do you love about mentoring?
I think it's fun just because you get to help someone out, and it's rewarding sharing your experience with someone else, passing it on. There's always challenges. I mean, I don't think there's any perfect trainer or apprentice by any means, but everyone's different, and helping someone where they may struggle, it's at the end of the day, the company's getting more money and you're helping someone grow their career. So for me, it's really rewarding seeing them go from A to Z.
I remember Pete McNeil and Jake Sorensen, who is, I think, your shop manager, said that he was so amazed when the apprentice program started. The rest of the technicians seemed to have a completely different attitude to ASE certifications.
I think their ASE certifications are just great for assessing where you're at. And, you know, you may take the test and you may fail. I know I didn't pass every one of them the first time I took it, but Elijah, I think that's great that you got that at age 21. It's really impressive. It's something that you just work towards. And once you get it, it's really rewarding when you become a master tech. So
in the case of Rex being a mentor, he, of course, isn't the senior person at the shop. Do you see value, since he's been through the apprentice program, that he would be being the mentor of the next apprentice?
Absolutely. It's actually really cool for him to go from an apprentice to a mentor. And I don't know how long that span of time was, but for him to have the experience of going through the same course that he's now teaching, I think that's an incredible edge for him and his ability to teach that same course.
Rex and Brian, being both mentors, any difficulty in getting your current apprentice to get the work done?
Right now, I'm pretty fortunate. The apprentice that I'm working with, he has a lot of motivation. He's willing to learn more. He's always pushing it to the next step. You can tell, I mean, especially going through the COVID age, that's hard on everyone right now. And I think just the fact that we're able to go to work, a lot of people can't. I think Pete was saying we spend more time at work than we do with our families, you know, and it's something that we need to appreciate, that we have a job right now. And I think Jason, he's my apprentice, he does a great job, and he's definitely appreciative that he's able to come to work, as am I, Jake, you guys, I'm sure. There's struggles, but nothing that can't be fixed. I think there's going to be problems because they may do a repair. I remember one time he left a fuel line loose and it came off during it on the customer. Car got towed back in and he thought he was going to get fired that same day. And it was a mistake. It happened. We got through it and stuff like that. It'll happen. No one's perfect, but it's all about how you resolve that and the training to make it better for the future.
Elijah, did you make any mistakes?
I sure did. Yes, sir.
Brian, you're a senior tech. Ever make any mistakes?
Of course.
Is that part of the learning curve, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dealing with those mistakes and how you go about them really shows who you are as a technician. Making mistakes hurts. We're pretty proud of who we are and what we do and how good we are at what we do. And when you make a mistake, that's a blow to you and your professionalism. You have to use that when you make mistakes as motivation. You can't be a quitter in the apprenticeship program. You know, you gotta kind of be tenacious about it, and that the mistakes just have to motivate you to not make that mistake again. You know, if that requires, you know, changing a process or just having a better quality control, whatever that is, you can't let that beat you down, but you have to also take it seriously at the same time.
I am so impressed with all of your answers. I can't tell you. I thank you so much. I want to talk about debt. You know, you go to college for 2 years, you're going to have some debt. Even if you go to a local community college, you may not have room and board, but you're still going to have some debt. Rex, any heavy debt coming out of this program?
No. I was fortunate enough to buy the tools that I needed. I think one thing about going to college is you may have to take classes that you're paying for that, you know, they may not help you be a better mechanic, possibly, and you're still going to have to pay that student debt back. Whereas going through the apprenticeship, I knew which tools I would need to acquire to do my job faster, and I spent my money in the right places, I guess you could say. McNeil's and Napa, they bought a toolbox for when I graduated, so that was really cool. And I think one thing about the apprentice program, it's just a great path, and it avoids that, all the debt. And if you're going into the mechanic industry with a lot of debt, you're not going to be able to afford a lot of tools. You may be struggling just to pay your debt back.
Your wisdom team has been great. Did you hear what Rex said? He said, oh my God, I got a toolbox at graduations. Think of the creativity you can do as an independent business person to build all kinds of incentives as your apprentice reaches certain milestones. Wow, great. Thank you for that, Rex. Elijah, any debt?
No, sir. Not even to the Snap-on man, like Rex is saying. He really stole what I was going to say. You know, through our apprenticeship program, I got to use Brian's tools for the first few months. And really, like he was saying, Rex was saying, you know, spend the money where you need it, you know, and what you're going to be using, what you need. And I know, like, coming out of a trade school or something, then Snap-on gives you like 50% off or something crazy like that. And you just go on and you're like, well, that looks cool. Let me get that. And then you end up with, you know, $10,000 worth of tools you can't use. And that doesn't happen with this program.
Brian, any final words from you, sir?
Let's say I play devil's advocate on the debt. I would say even if this program, whichever program you decided to choose and run with for the apprentice, even if it costs the same amount for any other education at a school, a two-year college, you're hands down in a better position when you come out of an apprenticeship program versus that two-year college, because I had that experience of college and I dropped out after probably a year and a half. It just wasn't structured right. I went to an automotive technology and we did training in the classroom setting, but then in the shop, it was not based on what our training was on that day. It was geared towards whichever teacher's car was broken down or the shop, the instructor's race car or something. You know, it wasn't structured to where we could learn theory, learn this book work, and then go apply it. We didn't get to apply it to anything. So I would say even if you got into a position where debt was an issue with these programs, you're light years ahead of any school. If I came out of that school, I never would have been ASE certified. And you look at Elijah coming out of this 2 years later as a master tech, he can go to any shop he wants. You're not going to get that from a school. He can be a tech at any other shop, whereas I would have been a loop tech for however many years, probably like Rex's situation where he was a loop tech for a couple years. I was a loop tech. The apprenticeship program is far better outcome versus a school outcome because it's real world work.
Thank you. Brian Stafford, Parkway Automotive, ASE certified L1 advanced and currently mentoring at Parkway. Rex Lee, McNeil's Auto Care, working as a mentor, first graduate of the McNeil Apprentice Program. Any final words, Rex?
I would like to say thanks for having me on. And yeah, if you embrace the apprentice program and you spend the time to make it work for you, it's going to pay for itself, definitely.
Always great to have you guys on. I mean, please don't be bashful. You got an idea. Let's get back on this show. And Elijah Pierce from Davidson's, recent graduate of the apprentice program. Any great words of advice for our audience, Elijah?
I would just say to the shop owners, if you're trying to add top-tier technicians to the industry, then apprenticeships are the way to do it. Real-world, one-on-one experience. You know, you pick a good apprentice and a good mentor, you're going to have a good outcome. And that's the way to do it.
Rex, Elijah, mature beyond your years. I wish you all kinds of great success. Brian, thank you for being such a great mentor over there at Parkway. Now, so what stops you from trying to build an apprentice program in your shop? And I'm speaking to you, Mr. Business Owner, who is, you know, the majority of who my audience is. What stops you? A program? It's done. It's there. Department of Labor approved. And you can work with your state to get grant money. You need to find a candidate? Okay, you can make that every excuse in the world, but I heard a great thing where the high school people reached out to McNeil's and said, hey, we may have someone here for you. Let's shadow something. You can't sit in your own world and say, can't find anybody. You have to recruit. No different than trying to find yourself a master tech to come to work for you. And time. Well, I think you have to commit to the time. And, you know, think about how much time you spend trying to hire a technician, where over the course of a two-year program, very inexpensively, you can actually hire an individual. And who says you can't start one and then a year later start another and a year later start another while you're strategizing how to build your great company because you want to put on some more bays? Well, how are we going to be able to handle it? Well, it's like putting a seed in the ground, fertilizer, and some water. And presto, if you do it right, a few years later, you got a big oak tree. Thank you all so much for being here. Have a great weekend. Town Hall Academy, Apprentice Stories.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.